James chapter 2. This morning we're going to talk about a living faith. We're going to begin reading in verse 14. And before we get there, I want to say on behalf of myself and the church staff, thank you for last week. Thank you from me for the love offering. Thank you for the church fellowship. And just thank you for the love that you showed toward not only myself, but all of the church staff. And I know we all agree on that fact. It is a privilege to serve the Lord at Victory Baptist Church. Thank you for your love and for your care. We do not take you for granted, and we appreciate you so very much. All right? All right. God bless each and every one of you. Would you stand as we look to the Word of God and we read about a living faith? Verse 14 says, "What profit? What does it profit, my brethren? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith, by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O man, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Again, let us turn our hearts toward the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of worship. We thank you for your word. And now, Lord, I present myself to you and pray that you will speak through me. Use me as your instrument, Lord, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that your will be done in every life that's present here today. That, Lord, you would convict of sin. That there will be lost people saved in this service. That the saved will be drawn closer to you. Oh, Lord, move freely among us, for we need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to start with a qualifying statement, if you will. From the very beginning, I want you to know, and we all know, that works is not a part of the salvation equation. Okay? And so, don't get confused as we preach this. As a matter of fact, I want to give you the verse of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Okay? So don't get confused. James is not saying you got to work your way to heaven. All right? But there was apparently a problem in that day. And I'm not so sure it was a problem that's any different than is it present in our culture today. And that problem was that there was apparently a people who claimed to have faith, but there was no visible evidence of that faith. And James' point to this entire passage is, spoiler alert, this is what the whole message is about, is it's impossible to have a saving faith and that faith not have a visible difference, or not having made a visible difference in your life. That's not saving faith. And we start here And he asked the question, can that faith save? And I want to look at the potential of a dead faith, all right? If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? And I want to point out to you that faith, okay? In the text it reads, can faith save? But in the translation, for some reason, they left out the that, all right? There should be, can that faith save him? And what he's pointing out is there's a difference in faith. There are different kinds of faith, if you will. James is saying that there is a dead faith. A faith without works. A faith that there's no visible difference. There's no active difference made in a person's life. And his question is, if you have a dead faith that nothing comes out of your so-called faith, what good is it? Where's the benefit? Where's the blessing? There's absolutely no potential. And I question today that there are a lot of people in our society who have not acknowledged the existence of Jesus Christ, who have acknowledged that He died upon a cross called Calvary, who have acknowledged that He rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father, but who do not have a saving faith. Okay? You see, the Bible tells us that in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. That means Jesus has made the difference. And I want you to understand, if your faith has made no difference in your life, likely as not, you have a dead faith which is absolutely useless. And we ask the question, and James asked the question, what good is it? It's absolutely useless. Ah, but there's another kind of faith. A living faith. A faith that produces. All right? And a living faith is faith that you can see. Faith that affects your life as well as the life of others. Faith that works. Okay? As a matter of fact, when James used that word, works, he doesn't use it from a standpoint, as I said, of earning your salvation. That word works literally means a product, an end result. Anything that is achieved or produced by your faith. And the idea is because you have faith, there will be something that is produced by your faith. Okay? Make sense? Listen, I want you to understand. You are not saved by keeping a set of rules. You are not. And I know some people get real big on the rules today. You can live rules all you want to and still not be saved. I want to explain the difference to you, okay? I'm not saved because I go to church. I go to church because I'm saved. Does that make sense? You see, it's a product that's produced from my faith. I don't keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. I keep the Ten Commandments because I am saved. Yeah? There's a product produced. And that's what I want you to see here. There is a life-changing product that has happened in your life if you truly have a living faith. Understand, when I say there's going to be production in your life, I know that everybody's not going to be a Billy Graham. I get that. And praise God that everybody's not a Billy Graham. If we were, Billy Graham wouldn't stand out, would he? You may not be a missionary. You may not be a pastor or a deacon, but beloved, there will be fruit in your life if you are a child of God. All right? Galatians 5:22 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, some people will look at this and say, well, I'm not nearly as good a Christian as I should be, and maybe I didn't get it right. Don't misunderstand this. This does not, James is not saying once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be perfect, because you will not. We all still battle sin. But once you've experienced the saving power of Jesus Christ, you cannot live the life that you once lived. You're a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away, and there will be evidence. Let me ask you a question. Is there love in your life? That's fruit of the Spirit. Can you love people in spite of who they are and what they are? Now, sometimes we have to struggle with that one, don't we? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there endurance in your life? And that's what long-suffering is. Endurance, you know. One of the big problems we have in Christianity is when it gets tough, we just kind of fall by the wayside. Oh, something wrong with that. What I want you to grab today is there's two kinds of faith. There's a dead faith and a living faith. And I want you to ask yourself, in all honesty, what kind of faith do I have? Because, beloved, it's too important to get wrong. You see, James, in the text, he issues to us a challenge. Show me your faith, he says. Talk the talk is easy, or talking the talk is easy. He said, if you have a brother who's without clothes and he's hungry, and you look at that brother and your contribution to him is this: be warmed and filled. What good have you done? You see, there's a lot of that in the world today. There's a lot of that in churches today. Have you ever heard people say, we need to, and fill in the blank in the church, we need more nursery volunteers. We need more preschool volunteers. We need more children's teachers. What are you doing? Huh? What are you doing? You see, it's easy to talk that talk. I'll tell you, there's something today that just drives me berserk. And we'll get on a soapbox. Can I get on a soapbox just a minute? The NFL drives me nuts. You knew that was coming out sometime, didn't you? Okay? I mean, it is unthinkable to me that someone would disrespect this nation and the flag of the United States of America because, listen, let me tell you, this is the greatest country on earth. We have our problems. We do. I'll admit. But go live in Korea a little while and see how you like that. You know? Go live in Iraq or Afghanistan a little while and see how that compares. But what we have in the NFL is we have people who, when the national anthem is played, they will disrespect our flag, our nation, and our soldiers who have fought and died for this nation. I have no respect for that, okay? But they will disrespect by taking a knee. And their justification is they are protesting social injustice and inequality that occurs in the United States of America. Now, let me tell you how this plays out. They take that knee as the national anthem is played. After the national anthem is played, they get up, put on their helmets, and they go out and they earn their millions by playing a game. After the game is over, now there are exceptions to this, but after the game is over, they go home and they drive their really, really good cars to their really, really big mansions and live a very luxurious lifestyle, and don't worry about it until the next ball game, where when the national anthem is played, they take a knee to demonstrate social injustice. You talk about hypocrisy. Okay? I do not begrudge anybody for making money. I do not. But here's my question. You're going to take a knee. You're going to disrespect this nation What are you doing to fix it? Okay? Hypocrisy is when you demonstrate. See, everybody wants to demonstrate and march. What are you doing to fix it? If you want to get, if you're truly concerned with social injustice, go out and help this society. Help those who are downtrodden. Help those who are being abused racially. Help those who are experiencing persecution that you say exists. Then I'm behind you 100%. It's kind of like me when I say, you know, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ, and I never tell people about Jesus Christ. Same thing. Hypocrisy. And that's what James is saying. I get off my NFL soapbox now. And let's turn to Christians. For you see, there are a lot of Christians who say, I believe in Jesus. But we've got to ask ourselves at this point, what difference does it make when we deal with one another inside this church? What difference has your Christianity made? Can you look at people with love in spite of our failures and our imperfections? When we go outside this church and we talk about having a heart for our community, are we going outside this church? You see, otherwise we're just demonstrating. We're protesting, if you will, and we're not living it. Like I said, I'm not saying that everyone's an evangelist, or I'm not. But I am saying, all right, that a living faith makes a difference. In church, out of church, you can see it. Can people see what you believe is the question. Can you? What difference has it made? And James gets kind of rough here. He says, you say you believe in God. The demons believe and tremble. In Luke chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus encountered a demon-possessed man in the synagogue. You'd never believe that a demon-possessed man would be in the synagogue, would you? But there was. And when that demon saw Jesus come, he said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. He knew who Jesus was. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. What makes you different than a demon? You say, Brother Doug, I'm not a devil. Understand the comparison. Are you different? Has your faith changed you? Easy to talk the talk. Are you walking the walk? That's what he goes on and he says, look at our great people of faith. One was Abraham. Abraham was minding his own business one day. And God called Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac. And I want you to take him to a mountain that I'm going to show you. And when you get up there, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son, whom you love so very much. You know what Abraham did? Abraham had faith. Faith so much that he took his son and they headed out to the mountain that God showed him. He packed the boy up to the mountain and they climb up the mountain. He laid him on the altar, put the wood under the altar, and he had the knife drawn and he was just about to thrust that knife into his son. And God said, hold it. Stop. Don't hurt that boy. Abraham, you have not withheld your son, your only son. You know what Abraham was doing? Okay? And James says, was not Abraham justified by works when he offered Isaac? That word justified, used in this context, means to demonstrate righteousness. You know what Abraham was doing? He was demonstrating His righteousness as He took His Son to offer Him as a sacrifice. That's what He was doing. He was demonstrating what He believed. That's James' whole point. In verse 22 he said, By works faith was made perfect, or faith was accomplished. Do you want to know today that you can see a saving faith? You know, sometimes we doubt. Have you ever doubted your salvation? Would you just say amen if you doubted your salvation? Let me help you with it, okay? Let me help you with the doubts. Are you a new creation? Has Jesus made a difference? You know, sometimes we get to thinking, boy, I don't know, maybe I did something wrong, and maybe I didn't do everything I was supposed to do, and so we kind of waver and we kind of think, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Listen, can you go back to the time where you were saved, and did it change your life? You see, again, the Bible says you're a new creation. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Did it change you? Listen, if something didn't change, you better evaluate your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? You better evaluate it. I'm not saying you're supposed to be perfect. I'm not saying you're going to do everything right. I am saying Jesus Christ changes people. And you know what? There are no great people written about in the Bible who didn't display their faith. I mean, there are people who blew it, who didn't have the faith that they should have had, and after God helped them along the way, He got them back on the right track. But listen, here's the challenge. In closing, verse 26, "For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." He's not telling you to go to work. That's not His point. He's not. Okay? I mean, and I've heard this preached, boy, you've got to get with it and start teaching Sunday school classes, and you got to be deacons and preach. Now, that's not His point. His point is, you say you have Jesus. Does it reflect in your life? If it doesn't reflect in your life, then what you have is not real. Okay? What you have is not real. And that's my challenge for you today. Do you have a living faith? A faith that you live by? You know? That you don't keep a bunch of saying, you know, Christians, we can be very legalistic. You shall do this and you shall not do that. And that's not James' point. James' point is, do you have a faith that is alive, that has made a difference? I'm different because I believe in Jesus Christ. And then you fill in the blank after that. What difference has it made? That's the question you've got to answer today. Are you saved? Have you come to that point in your life? You know Jesus Christ gave His life upon Calvary so that you could have eternal life. And I want to tell you this, by the authority of God's Word, you will not go to heaven without Jesus Christ. Okay? Have you come to that point where you committed your life to Jesus Christ? Have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? Okay? That's the first thing you do after you're saved. You go public. You declare it. Yeah? I want people to know who I belong to. That's Jesus, right? Have you followed the Lord in baptism? Number three, are you living your faith? Now, I'll admit, sometimes we backslide. Have you ever backslid? Find yourself in that place where, I'm not living what I say I am. Okay? Time to come back. See, Jesus said, you're a city set on a hill. That you're the light of the world. That people, that's why this is so important, that people can look at you and say, boy, they're different. They're not like everybody else. That's what we're going for here. Okay, that's what James is going for. Or has Jesus made a difference? Let's stand. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. This altar's open. If you need to counsel with me or some of the others up here, please come in this invitation. But if Jesus hasn't made a difference in your life, let's be honest. If Jesus has not made a difference, let's let Him make a difference today. Okay? Our Father in heaven, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.